that have said, whether I was preaching or someone else, man, that was for me. What I would like for you to do today is just pretend this is for you. Just from the beginning. Now, afterwards, you can come and say if you want, that was not for me. But at least for the beginning, pretend. Pretend. Then if I don't have to convince you that this is God talking to you, I could probably save 30 minutes. That's worth it for you. It's a holiday weekend. You know what I'm saying? We need to get on with the barbecue. But God is going to talk to us right now. And that's a very bold statement, I know. And I'm not trying to be arrogant by any stretch. It's not a focus on me. He's just an awesome God. And he knows every person that's here. He knew that I would be here. You would be here. He knew. And he's ready to talk to each of us. So just pretend God is talking to me. Take everything in the next, hopefully, 30 minutes or less. Don't take it with a grain of salt. Take it as God is talking to me. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. There he goes, talking to me. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I know he's talking to me. I want to preach to you from this simple thought, chosen. Chosen. We got a picture of you up there on the screen. You're one of those shadows and you are chosen. Let's ask God to speak to us right now. Lord Jesus, you got a word for every single one of us. Your timing is impeccable. God, you are about to open up a doorway for somebody to understand that they were created by you and for you. God, you have the opportunity today to remind someone they are chosen. They are chosen. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? God bless you. You may be seated. Over the last couple of Sundays, I have tried to remind this church that we are living in the last days, that it's midnight for our generation. There's a passage of scripture I have not read, but I want to read it now. It will help you focus on the reality that, man, these are the last days. 2 Timothy 3 from the New Living Translation. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. And he warned Timothy, stay away from people like that. The focus of my message in reading those verses is not to just begin to point out people that might fit in that category. It's not for me to judge, but I would like for you to know God is talking to you that these are the last days. That all that mess that you can relate to, not because you read your Bible, but just because you read the newspaper, that is an indicator that we are facing dangers in the last days. But I want to declare to you that God has not called us just to barely make it or just to somehow slip into heaven. And my goodness, how in the world did we get through all that mess? God has not called us to survive. God has called us to thrive. In these last days, God has chosen us to make an impact in our world. If Hurricane Harvey has revealed anything in that part of the United States, it is this: the church is thriving. Because even churches that are filled to overflowing and underwater right now, they are still together as brothers and sisters, helping each other and helping their community. It calls to reminder those famous words from Jesus Christ when he said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I thank God for what the government can do, and I thank God for how neighbors are helping neighbors. But there in South Texas, the church is making a difference. The church is right even here in North Carolina. Money is being raised by the church, not just this church, but every denomination, and the church as a body is thriving. In the midst of confusion and in the midst of chaos, yes, these are the last days, but these will be the best days for the church of the living God. Yes, these are the last days, but the former and the latter reign together. An outpouring of the Spirit of God that rescues the lost and the perishing. Yes, these are the last days, but our sons and our daughters shall prophesy. God is doing great things in these last days. And God has chosen his church to be a force for hope in these last days. No matter how dark the night, no matter how desperate the circumstance, God has chosen the church to be a light that is shining brightly, a city that is set up on a hill. God is in control of these last days, and the church is God's chosen people to impact the world for good. No doubt there's somebody here that all by yourself you could pray for hurricane victims. All by yourself you could send a little money and be a blessing. But when the church moves, when the church binds together, when the church is in action, miracles can happen that would never happen with you by yourself. I know we live in an age when there is such pressure to be self-directed in your ministry, in your relationship. In fact, a lot of people are turned off by the church, and probably for good reason, because the church is made up of people and people mess up, and sometimes our mess ups mess up other people. And so I know there are probably some in this sanctuary that you love God and you know that you are chosen and you know that God has a purpose for you. I just want to remind you, the best way for you to find your purpose is to be a part of the church. Maybe you don't want to be a part of this church, but get a part of the church of the living God. Get a hold of a relationship with a local pastor and a local assembly and do something that reveals the purpose for which God has saved you. Because many are called, but few are chosen. And I am saying, and this is why I want you just to pretend that God is talking to you. You are chosen. You are not here by accident. It's not just your life. Your life is his life. You are his hands and you are his feet. You are his body on the earth for such a time as this. And as a church, we are chosen. And as individuals in particular, we are chosen. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 3, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. I beg you, because you are chosen, don't settle for just fitting into the world. There is so much more for you in this world than just being like the world, because you are chosen. This verse is saying, and I hope you can pretend it's saying it to you, that whoever you are, whether you are young or young in the Lord, or whether you are older or you have served God in your own way for a long time, you are chosen. And the God that chose you is so powerful that he can literally put in your life everything you need to be godly, everything you need to be purposeful, everything you need to realize, wow, this is why he chose me. This is the purpose he has for me. This is why I'm breathing air in and out 24/7. He chose me, but not just as he chose me, but he is so powerful that he can give me everything I need to fulfill the purpose for which he chose me. Oh, if you take a moment right there and say, you know what? Because I know he's talking to me, that excites me, that thrills me, because sometimes I feel weak. Sometimes I feel ill-prepared. Sometimes I feel like I could never do anything significant for God. But not only has he chose me, but he has the power to use me. Praise the name of the Lord. So my purpose in sharing that with you, and my purpose in living life as though I am chosen, is not to promote an attitude of arrogance, as though we are better than anybody else, or I am better than you, or you might think you are better than me. No. In fact, when I say that we are chosen, it should not make us aloof and look down at the world as though they're the scum of the earth, and somehow I just got to get through all their junk. Let me remind the chosen, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Since Jesus died to save the world, then the chosen ought to live to save the world. What choice do we have when it comes to a natural disaster but to roll up our sleeves and do whatever we can with whatever we have? Because now we have an opportunity as the church and individuals in particular to love the world that Jesus loves so much that he died for them. Why is it that sometimes you are prompted to look across at a coworker who's suffering, and in that moment you cannot think about yourself? You can't just focus on your own problems, but something in your heart is beating. I need to say something. I need to do something. I need to be something. Why is that working in your soul? It's because you are chosen. Why would men take time off of work and interrupt their lives? You don't think the men that are going next Friday have schedules and responsibilities and families 1,000 times? Yes. But I declare they are chosen men, and God has put it in their heart. You know what? We ought to make a difference. We ought to take our talents and our skills and do what we can to help. I'm here to tell you, as a church, we are chosen. And if we will come together as individuals and not just choose to do our own thing, but together let's do his thing, I'm telling you, the church can make a difference that will change the world. Amen. So I have this friendship with Matthew Tuttle. We're friends because we needed a missionary in the Netherlands. And Matthew's about the only United Pentecostal Church preacher from America that can preach in Dutch. There's maybe two or three. So he said to his dad, I'll go for a year. At the end of that year, he was saying, man, I'd like to get out of here. And that's when I connected with him. And he said, I feel like I need to get away from here. I said, Matt, what if you just need some help? What if you just need some partners? What if you just need a friend? So that friendship began to be cultivated, and he stayed for 5 years when he was only going to stay for one. I think that's awesome. I would have never known I could have impacted somebody like that, but I'm glad I'm chosen. I'm glad he's chosen. And then I haven't really said this to him because it's a little bit coarse. After 5 years, God moves him to Vider just a couple years ago. And if you know anything about the Netherlands, the whole nation is under sea level. So he lives there for 5 years, doesn't have to worry about the flooding because it rains every day, but they got it taken care of. Then he moves to a place where they're never supposed to have floods like that, and his whole church is underwater. And I don't mean the building, I mean the people. It's just interesting how God chooses us. Sometimes we find ourselves in a circumstance that we could have never imagined. But if you're chosen, and if you realize you're chosen, even in all the mess, you realize, God, you've got a plan for us. You've got a purpose for us. So here is Matthew Tuttle living in Vider, and now he's leading not just his church, but his entire community in a rescue effort. I mentioned to you before, 82 families that he's been able to contact. They have more than that in their church. They run about 400 or 500 people, but 78 families at least are underwater right now. And yet God has said, Matthew Tuttle, he's the one that's going to lead these people through this season of sorrow so that they can thrive as a church and reach their community. Less than a month ago, a prophecy went forth from their church, from the pulpit. A minister came and said, this church is going to impact this city like it has never done before. And less than a month later, they have the whole attention of everybody in that county. It's because when you are chosen, God is working behind the scenes. When you are chosen, God is taking everything the enemy means for evil and he's turning it for good. I'm trying to say to somebody here, you are chosen. Praise God. One of the folks on his team there, David and Andrea Nutt, they were missionaries in Spain. They gave everything to serve in Spain, came back broke, in fact, in debt. God began to bless them. They were able to get a home. And just last week, their home was entirely destroyed. They're not one of the homes we're going to repair. Their home is irreparable. And so the day they evacuated, somehow, and it was not an easy task, they made it to the church. Really, they feel like that was a miracle. Husband, wife, 2 or 3 kids. And from the moment they arrived, they just started serving the community. They just started helping hurting people. They pushed away all of the thoughts about what are we going to do for a home. We don't have insurance. We don't have money. We don't have a house. We don't have anything. But you know what? We are chosen. We are chosen. And so for the entire last week, all they've done is cook and clean and serve. In fact, Sister Andrea was one of those that when elderly people came, that because of sickness, they could not even help themselves with some of the basic hygiene. There she was, providing for some of the rawest needs that a human being could have. She pushed away the thoughts of her own heartache, and she pushed away the thoughts of her own tragedy. I'm trying to reach for somebody here today, and I'm saying, I know you've been through hell and maybe not that much high water, but I'm gonna tell you this, there are times that you've squared your shoulders back and said, I must obey God, I must please God, I must serve God. I'm saying to everybody today, don't let your circumstances deceive you. You are chosen. Don't let your setbacks defeat you. You are chosen. Could you square your shoulders back and get a hold of a passion that says, I have not already attained, I am not already perfect, I have not already arrived, but I follow after, I am apprehending that for which God has apprehended me. I'd like for the Lord to baptize all of us today with a passion. And that passion could be described this way. God, reach for me. And you know what? He had to reach way down to get me. And now the purpose of my life is I'm reaching for the reason that he reached me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've got a family and I've got a job and I've got bills to pay, but I know that Jesus reached down his hand and he rescued me. And now the vision of my life is to reach forward to him until I reach the reason why he reached me. Because everybody in this building is chosen. You awesome young people are chosen. You senior saints are chosen. You guests that are here, you are chosen. And I'm telling you, God reached for you for a reason. And the mission of your life is not just to pay your bills, not just to enjoy an occasional high, but the mission of your life is to say, Jesus, I want to figure out why you chose me. I want to know why you saved me. I want to reach for you the way you reach for me. Is there anybody that would raise a hand and say, I will press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm not going to do it as a lone ranger. I'm going to not do it as me, myself, and mine. I'm going to do it a part of the church. I'm going to do it a part of the church. I'm going to be a part of the church. I'm going to invest in the church. I'm going to get involved with the church. Because I'm chosen. And the church is chosen. I know in a crowd this size, there's so many of you I don't know as much as I'd like to know. I don't really know what's involved in your life right now. I don't know what makes up all the issues that are represented by you sitting here today. But I don't have to know you to know you're chosen. I know him. And I know how he chooses. I remember being a kid, and when you were the captain of the team, you had to choose whoever was left on the ball field, because the teacher would get upset with you if you acted like, well, that kid can't play. I don't want him on my team. And many times, I'm not making this up, I was the kid that was one of the last ones chosen. And I know the only reason why I got chosen is because we have to choose everybody. I don't believe that's how God chooses. I tell you how I feel God chooses. You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. When the world chooses, they choose the smartest, they choose the most athletic, they choose the one with the most education, they choose the one with the most money. But when God chooses, he says, let me find somebody that will give me all the glory, let me find somebody that will give me all the credit, let me find somebody that after I use them, they'll say, I know it wasn't me. I know it was the Lord. Let me find somebody that even after they invest a lot of money, they will say, I know it wasn't my money. It was God's money. Even though they invest a lot of talent, they'll say, I know it wasn't my talent. It was God's talent. That's why you're chosen, because somewhere in the deep part of your soul, there's something that you know. If God's going to do anything in my life, it's going to be God, and it's not going to be me. And if that's you, you are chosen. I got a few minutes left here. I'm going to do the best I can. God chose me to pastor this church. Some of you have never seen my resume, but I've seen it. The best thing on my resume is I'm pastor of Heavenview. But before I came to pastor here, I didn't have that on my resume. I had a little bit of education on my resume. I might have had a couple of talents on my resume, but I guarantee you, you could have stacked up a whole mess of resumes that would have had a lot more qualities for a pastor of a church like this. But I can tell you what I did have. God, I am nothing. God, I can't do anything. But here I am. If you choose me, I'll give you all the glory. If you choose me, I'll give you my very best. I'm trying to tell somebody today, if you think you're the last one God would choose, you're the one he's talking to today. If you think you're the last one that God would choose, you have no idea the people that you can influence if you'll just say, God, here am I, use me. Here am I, use me. Is there anybody that would raise their hand and say, Jesus, here am I, use me, choose me, let me be something you can use? Can you say amen? Amen. Don't ever say yes to God because you think you're worthy. Just say yes to God because you know he's able. Amen. In fact, every now and then, I reflect upon these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It would do us well. I'm talking about everybody in the building right now. It would do us well every now and then to kneel beside an altar somewhere and say, God, if you had not found me, if you had not washed me, if you had not sanctified me, if you had not justified me, if you had not saved me, I would be nothing but a fornicator. I would be nothing but an idolater. I would be nothing but an adulterer. I would probably be effeminate. I would be an abuser of myself. I would be a thief. Oh, come on now. Every now and then, you got to be honest and say, you may think I'm all pretty today, but without God, I'm nothing. But with God, I'm everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hey, I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you. You are chosen, and such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. Oh, would you clap your hands or shout with your voice or lift your hands and say, I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord chose me. Amen. He chose you. And he chose you to be in a church. Where in that church, you could be chosen to do great things for him. We all know that Moses was chosen with all of his mistakes and all his insecurities. God still chose him. Until Deuteronomy declares the record of his life in Deuteronomy 34. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land. Maybe some of you think, well, I could never be a Moses. But there's another guy in the story. His name is Aaron. He doesn't get top billing, but he was chosen. And I'd love for you to do a Bible study and consider that in Exodus chapter 28, we won't look at it now. In fact, I'm almost finished. In Exodus 28, listen closely. God speaks to Moses on the mountain. There's fire and there's smoke, and the Ten Commandments are given along with all the law. All of the ways to set up the tabernacle and all the ways for the priest to minister. And God specifically mentions Aaron. He describes the clothes he's going to wear. He describes the way he's going to serve. And let's be honest. We could make a case that God didn't choose Moses. God didn't choose Aaron. Moses chose Aaron. But isn't that cool that God said, okay, I'm good with that. You know, God's so desperate for someone that will do his will. God's so desperate for someone that will say whatever you want, Lord. But here's what I want you to consider. God mentions Aaron by name, how he's going to serve, what he's going to wear, the way he's going to work. Meanwhile, we discover just a few chapters later that while God was spelling out the ministry of Aaron, Aaron was bringing the people together to worship a golden calf. That's an awesome God. Now remember, I want you to pretend that God's talking to you right now, because you got all these excuses why you can't be used of God. And while Aaron is raising up the people of God into a frenzy to worship an idol, God's saying, when he prays through, this is what he's going to wear. This is how he's going to serve. This is what he's going to do. I'm talking about you being chosen. I said, maybe you've taken a few wrong turns, and maybe even some other people know some of the trouble you've been through. But I'm telling you, when God chooses you, he doesn't see the way you are now. He doesn't see the mess ups you have now. He sees what you're going to do when you give your life to him. Come on, I'm telling you, just pretend that God is talking to you because he has chosen you. And you know what, Aaron? You may be dancing around a golden calf, but when you get a hold of God, when you get things right with God, you're going to discover, I have been chosen. Chosen. I said, God's talking to you today. God's talking to you today. God's talking to you today. And you don't have any excuses to not say, okay, God, if you choose me, I will choose you. If you choose me, I will choose you. I will take my mistakes and leave them at the altar. I will stake my mess ups and leave them at the altar. But I realize these are the last days, and this is my hour to answer the call of God. And how amazing. There's no way for me to predict who's coming to church on a particular Sunday. There's no way for me to manipulate a message so that it hits you because I know you're going to be here. But I tell you this, God is reaching for somebody that you have a call on your life, and you know you have a call on your life, and maybe you're being good to people, and maybe you've done some nice things, but you have not answered the call of God. You have not followed the call of God. And I preach to you today, you are chosen, 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 chosen. Think about it for a minute. Why should you even be in this building right now? Except you are chosen. As the musicians come, Acts chapter 9, and I close. Saul is breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He's trying to throw Christians in prison. Meanwhile, it's in the same chapter. Meanwhile, across town, verse 15, God speaks to a man by the name of Ananias. He says, you go get Saul. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now, don't that just beat everything? That at the same moment he's persecuting the followers of Jesus, Jesus is saying, that dude is chosen. That's an awesome God we serve. So that nobody could sit at Heaven View on the first Sunday in September and say, well, that was okay. And I pretended that God was talking to me, but there's no way that was God. You are so wrong. And you know you're wrong. You know you're wrong. Because even though there are times You know you're drifting. There are times you know you're not really answering the call of God. There is still something that beats in your soul. I know I was made for more than this. I know God had bigger plans for me than this. And sometimes you blame people, and sometimes you remember the way that you were mistreated. But all the while, God is sending you a message. You are chosen. And you could be here and never had any access to this wonderful church or any access even to the Bible plan for salvation. And somehow, some way, you rolled up into Heaven View on this Sunday in September. And if you're going to pretend that it's just a coincidence that God designed this moment to say you are chosen, you will never forget this message. And you will go down every path you think brings you happiness. But there will be moments you will lie in bed and you will hear the voice of this preacher. You are chosen. You are chosen. You remember for those few moments when you pretended that God could talk to you, guess what? He did. And he told you, you are chosen. And so here's what I have decided to do today, and I think God will honor me for this. What changed it all for the man that became the great apostle Paul, he saw a light and he heard a voice. And he realized, Jesus has chosen me. I want you to close your eyes and bow your heads. I know not everybody gets a light. Not everybody hears a voice. I know Ananias didn't get to see a light. I know Ananias, all he heard was a voice. I know that others that all they get to hear is a preacher. In fact, I've never seen an angel. I've never seen lightning flash in the sky and God talk to me in an audible voice. But I have been in services like this. Even as a young person, I'm talking about even just as a 10 or an 11-year-old, and the preacher preaches guts out, and God pull my heart and say, I've chosen you. So I think if you need a light, I'm asking God to give you a light. If you need an audible voice, I ask God to give you an audible voice. But if just the sound of this man preaching is enough for you to feel the pull of the Holy Ghost, I want you to pretend like God is talking to you right now. And I pray in Jesus' name, let that lady, let that man, let that brother, let that sister, let that young child, let that teenager, let that adult, let that senior citizen, let that individual know, I am chosen. I am chosen to be a part of the church of the living God. And that church is chosen to make an impact in the city where I live, in the nation that I'm called, where I'm called, and then into the world where there's a need. I am chosen. I am chosen. I am chosen. Let's pray together, church, right now. Nobody moving. If it's at all possible, if you could just pray right now where you're seated. I'm asking God to get a hold of you. I'm asking God, you were kind enough to at least give it some thought that God could talk to me. I'm asking him to talk to you right now. I'm asking you to pull you right now by his spirit, to draw you right now. You are chosen. I want to invite everybody to stand. I In the name of Jesus Christ, I've asked you today to listen like you are chosen. Now I'm asking you to act like you are chosen, to talk to God like you are chosen. If you knew that God had chosen you, what would your response be right now? If you knew that God had chosen you, what would be your response right now? Maybe for some, you might come to the altar, and I'm not trying to manipulate you, but I do want a response today. Maybe for some, you would begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make some changes by your help. And I'm going to live like my life has a purpose that's bigger than me. Maybe for some, you might be led of the Holy Ghost right now to minister to someone, to minister by the gifts of the Spirit operating through you as you pray for others. Maybe there are some that as you think about neighbors and friends and someone that God wants you to interact with, maybe you can make a commitment. Maybe there are even some that as we've talked about what we're going to do in Texas, you know you're chosen. Maybe you're going to make a conversation happen with Brother Fred, say, I'd like to go, or maybe you'd like to give. I want you to fill in the blank right now with the Holy Ghost leading you, but let's act like we're chosen. Let's speak to God like we're chosen. Let's pray for each other like we're chosen. Let's respond to the Spirit right now. Go ahead, whatever you feel to do. Whatever you feel to do. Now it's up to you. Now, come on, you like to do it your own way. Now's your chance. Do it however God leads you. However God leads you. Whatever God directs you to do. You don't have to do what the preacher says, but do something that says, I'm chosen. I'm chosen. I'm chosen. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, reach out to God. Because you are chosen. Come on, seek direction from the Lord. Because you are chosen. Come on, make some commitments to God. Because you are chosen. Come on, lay aside some fears and some failures. Because you are chosen. Come on. Come on, Aaron. Come on, Aaron. We're not looking at the idol anymore. We're not looking at the idol anymore, but you are chosen, son. You are chosen.
My heart, Lord, speak to me.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, Saul. Come on, Saul. Maybe you were heading in a different direction, but see the light. Hear the voice. You are chosen. You are chosen. You are chosen.
You can use anything, Lord, use me. Take my hand, take my feet. If you can use anything, Lord, use me. Oh, if you can use anything, you can use me. If you can use, oh, use me. Take my hand, take my heart. If you can use anything, Lord, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me.
Come on, let's make this entire sanctuary.